you worship, and you walk out of here different. Oh, you're going to do that. One way or the other. You will do that. Thank you for the Word of God in the previous service, exalting, trying to get you to see God is big. And for the song service, wherein Christ our Lord was exalted. We heard some good instructions also in those. Well, if you would turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 10. I certainly thank you for your prayers. I always get this giant to overcome when I stand in my own pulpit, much less someone else. He's a big, big, strong fellow. Would take the throne of my soul, would direct my steps, and would hinder me in any endeavors to serve the Lord. And that fellow is me. So I thank you for your prayers and trust our Father to help. May he bless, continue to bless the reading of the Scripture and the preaching of his Word. Verse number 38. Of Luke chapter 10. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. I like the tenderness of a shepherd. I like the fact that he'll take lambs up into his arms, draw them near his breast and carry them. And the wounded, he'll take care of all them when we step out of the way. Kind, tender rebuke, some of the sweetest words I've ever heard have been rebukes. Especially after a season wherein the Lord was not there. And then he'd point out, here's the problem. Yeah. Kind, gracious shepherd, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary, I debated just for a little about titling the message, Mary hath chosen the good part. It might turn out to be a more fitting title when it's over, I don't know. But right now I want you to see her at Jesus' feet. A little later on, the good part, which shall not be taken from her. Describing God. Someone said that the old Webster's dictionary had 500,000 words in it. If I or anyone else were proficient in using all those, we still couldn't tell you God. Bigger than us. Bigger than our world. Bigger than our governments. In the beginning, God. You'll just stop there. Every once in a while, and just kind of rest in that pasture. God. Fear ye not me, God said. Will ye not tremble at my presence? I want you to go down to the seashore. And I want you to look at the boundary that I place between water and dry ground. I place the sand as the bound. And say to the proud waves, you can go here, but you can't go no further. So when you are in those high waves, and the strong wind is tossing your little ship, God brought the wind. Oh, I understand a little of the scientific definition of how wind is made, but God did it. Job said he shut up the sea with doors and said to the proud waves, be stayed. Last week or the week before, scientists through one of their telescopes saw a planet for the first time, twice the size of Earth, 41 light years away. When the sun goes, the light comes from the sun and hits the Earth, which is 93 million miles in 8 minutes. And it took 41 years for that light out there to get here. You can't count distance such as that. But a few years back, they saw a star burning out. And it becoming a giant black hole. They figured this was 200 light years away. Now, I don't take all science. Don't believe all science. But I believe the truth. But I want you, if you can, to go out there. 200 light years away. There's God. Now go back where we were going back then. Very creation. there's God. Go out as far as you can into the future. There's God. And I got to tell you about this. Can't do it, folks. Can't do it. Can you, by searching, find out God? No. I wish some of our great, noted theologians knew that. One of the preachers in the last generation said, until man gets beyond his bonnet wisdom, there's a veil of flesh between you and God. I'm talking about a place rare. You'll get there with ease. It's a diligent effort. Don't get by one way out there or way up there. You say God dwells everywhere. God is everywhere. I know. There is no such thing as far away or near with God. But it is with us. Sometimes He seems far away. But it's only in my thinker. Because God is ever present. But there's a place. I hope you can walk out of here knowing a little about it. Why has this man's ever been that God imputed that wisdom? He talked from the little hyssop growing out of the wall to the great cedars of Lebanon. He knew about everything that there was to know. And he said, there are three things too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. Number one, an eagle in the air. Number two, a serpent on a rock. Number three, a ship in the ocean. Can you follow a path there? Can you get there? No. Number four, a man with a maid. God made them all. Thy way is in the sea, O Lord. But God leaves no footprints. But He did say to you, those that go down to the sea and do business in great waters, these shall know the Lord, see the Lord. So don't follow God by footsteps of men gone on. But I've got to follow God that leaves no path. Yeah. Things too wonderful for me. David said, guide me with thine eyes. Not with a bridle in my mouth or with a whip because I'm going the wrong way. And where are the eyes of God? Then how are you going to be guided by the eyes of God except you see the face of God? Amen. God. Knowing If you're living 10 years from today, God knows exactly now what your thought then will be. Knew every one of them before you ever got here, before Granny was ever in the world. That's God. You don't know what you'll be thinking 10 minutes from now. God does. The scriptures use the word thoughts of God, thinking. But there is no thinking with God. How can someone that knows all things have anything added? How can he be anything but faithful? He can't get better. He certainly can't get worse. Now, just with those few thoughts about God and how great God is, let me narrow it down just a little bit to one of the great, amazing, profound mysteries to me. You see, a mystery is a secret. But since God has made known, it no longer is a mystery, but it will always be a mystery to me. How can this God come down to this earth in a body? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. God in a body. Our 1,000 or a 1,000,000 years back farther before he ever said, "Let there be." And then at the end of 6 days, everything that ever would be created was created, with the exception of a new creature in Christ. That's all God's creating today. Everything else was taken care of. And God, way back there, did all that he did, and way out yonder, and you bring all that God and you put him in a body of flesh. Isn't that amazing? For by him were all things created. For by him are all things existing, they consist. And yet the him that created all things was for a little while unable to lift his head. Somebody had to stabilize it. And that infinite God, that glorious being, crawling around probably on the dirt floor, our own sawdust shavings out in his father's. You say God was his father. He didn't know that when he was crawling around. He didn't know God when he was little. The only thing I know, that when he was 12 years of age, that the knowledge had increased to the point that he knew God was his father. Because he said to his mother, "Don't you know that I must be about my father's business?" A great mystery. How do you get an infinite God in a body? In Hebrews 10, sacrifices and offerings thou that wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared. And now listen to this, for me. You are not who people think you are. People think you are by the color of your eyes, the color of your hair, the shape, the figure, the shortness or the tallness. No, the me is that nobody knows unless you reveal it to them. Sometimes you just have to sit and listen, and you find out who the person is that you're listening to. A body has not prepared for me. The me, God, was in the flesh. And the flesh would never become God. You see, folks, I'll get back there in a moment, Lord willing. There was a great gulf fixed between God and flesh when Adam sinned. And I don't care how great your effort is, you can't cross that gulf. You know you can't think your way into God. You can't pray your way into God. You can't learn your way into God. So flesh has God. And at the end of 33 years, the man Jesus, and God go back into eternity. That's the first time flesh entered into the presence of God since the fall.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word, verse 14 of John 1, was made flesh. And we beheld the glory. We found out about the grace, and we found out about the mercy. Psalm 144. And verse number 4. Psalm 144, verse 4, David said, man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Looking at what man is, and knowing a little bit about God, David asked the question in verse number 3, what's man? What's man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Children of the Lord, if you can ever rid yourself of the harlot's view of God, and if you can ever strip that image off your mind and get back to the true God, I know where you'll be. At His feet. If you ever begin to see God, there will be birthed in your soul a desire to worship. Desire to get where He is. Where are you feeding your flock today? Dear ones, I wouldn't give you too much hope if there is not within your soul a drawing and a yearning to get to Christ. Well, I've already been brought. Well, great and blessed be God, but you must keep on being born. Salvation wasn't a one-time event where God delivered you from sin. Salvation is a daily walk pressing on to know God. If this is eternal life, that they might know thee, don't you think that in the children's hearts that they will know Him? And has there ever been a man and a woman that were united on their wedding day, known their husband or wife like they did 30 years later? Never been one of them. You thought you knew. You go know God. As you know your mate. We've never lived in an age as great, in an age when as great a deception as there is going on out there. But it's going on in here. You go know God. You go know His Son. And you're going to know, not because you found some footprints somewhere in history or some footprints of the servants of God before. You're going to know God because you're looking at His face and following Him today. Amen. You better not place too much stock in an event that happened yesterday. You better be moving on, growing on, growing up, being developed. But I want to tell you the downfall of that. One of the old saints in the 1500s said, the more you learn of God, the more you're going to know how sinful you are. Lord, what's man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the Son of Man, that thou makest account of him? Lord, what in the world were you doing? Now, folk, I can't do any better than this as far as giving you an illustration. It won't even compare. If I had the ability to go out into the woods and start digging around and find a worm and bring that worm back to my house and teach it and watch it grow and watch it develop. But before it could be developed, I had to give my son for that worm. Oh, you thank God for the atonement, but in the atonement was included the maturity of the children of God. And as you grow and develop, you begin to see the vanity that there is in man. And on your face before God, you say, Lord, why you take an account of me? Salvation's not about heaven. Salvation's not about your sins being forgiven. Salvation's not about all the benefits that you have in life as a Christian. These are follow-along. Salvation is about the glory of God in the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if He shed His blood for you, then God the Father will always be faithful to make sure that in the end you look like Jesus. And you talk like Him and you act like Him. In public, not public. If I had to change this morning to get up in this pulpit from what I was yesterday, I'm a hypocrite. If you had to change before you went to the house of God for an hour so folk could see you at your best in Christianity, you are playing a hypocrite. A Christian is a Christian by his or herself, or in a great multitude unknown. They are who they are because of the great God that dwells in their heart. And I just jumped ahead of God coming in flesh. Then God comes in flesh. Christ, I think it says, in you, the hope of glory. I think Christ grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and favor with man. I think that the children of God will follow the shepherd. And you come to know him. And you come to love him. God help us. Considering who God is, and now Christ in flesh, and what he did. Considering the awful sinfulness that I was. And God come to me. That is astounding. I know a lot of people who say they know God, but I don't know a lot of people with reverence or godly fear in their soul for God. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel. You say, that's not a word. Oh, yeah, it is. It's not a word to some of you younger ones. It used to be that what the coins were packaged in, that was their value. But then the metal became greater than the coin. And so they'd bore out a hole in it. They'd take the insides out of a nickel and they'd put it back with a filler that wasn't expensive. Copper got so expensive here in the United States that folks were taking the pennies and melting them down because they were getting more for them than 1 cent. 1 cent. So in the 70s, we took all the copper out of the inside and we put a little covering on the outside, no thicker than a paper sheet. When God saves, the inside is where God begins. You will start with the outside. Quitting this, doing that. Works. Oh my. Because every one of us, and if you're not careful, when you find the great shepherd of your soul having departed, you'll begin to do some little religious thing, making you think that God owes you. Stop it. Just as you are, you come to the Lamb of God. But I got on clothes that smell like the hog pen. You better not stop at the Holiday Inn and change clothes to try to get into the presence of God. If you got there the first time on the merit of Jesus Christ, you'll get there the 100th time you've sinned and been forgiven. Amen. considering God fills heaven and earth. How is it possible for God to dwell in a human being? Mary sat at Jesus' feet. All of you got a picture now. It's formed up there. But Mary was in a place far beyond where her body was, physical body. She was in another world. Oh, children of God, get this. She was in another world, and there wasn't anybody there but her and Jesus Christ. The room may have had several in it, I don't know. But I know Mary was by herself. She carried nothing with her. She left everything behind. She didn't even carry a rational mind. I'd like to see you like that one day, sitting on these pews. Well, Gene and I talk often about what the church is going to look like and how she's going to behave out yonder. If I don't see it, I'll die a broken hearted, I trust by the grace of God, saint, stepping into glory. We've not gotten there yet. We might come where Christ will be. We might sit at his feet, but we don't get into another world because we can't get past our mental thoughts of God.
Yeah.
Our affections. Now, I'm going to tell you, to get there, you leave everything behind. You say, I need my mind. No, you can't think your way into God. Until you get beyond that gray matter, flesh is between you and God. Mary was out there. There wasn't anything on her mind.
Yeah.
She was beyond everything. And if out there, like in here, if a thought, if a thought entered, she pushed it down under her feet. You say, but it was a good thought. It was about the goodness of God. It was about the faithfulness of God. There's a time to reflect upon those things, and then there is a time to step above all the attributes of God and have nothing up here and just sit at his feet. And listen. Because if a thought ever enters, it's just come between you and God. And you're back on earth. If you don't get it out of the way. She sat at his feet. I told you her mind wasn't engaged. It wasn't but one thing. And that was her heart. Just two people. I wished I had. The liberty. I wished I could paint the picture for you. But because of its abuse out there, I'll pass by it. I'll just give you this. At that moment, Mary and Jesus Christ entered into the bedroom chamber and shut the door.
Right.
You been there? Have you? Far, far beyond theological training, beyond right doctrine, beyond the right upright walk before God, beyond the right thoughts of God. It's just you and Christ. Well, it doesn't come naturally. A lot of stuff's got to be pushed aside. You got to step over a lot of stuff. And certain it is that the hand's got to be on the plow, not looking back. Head's got to be turned correctly. And the feet's got to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, and the body's got to be kept and brought into subjection. True it is. But I'm talking about beyond all these things right now. Augustine said, the whole of life of a good man is nothing less than holy desires.
Amen.
You got them? Isn't there something in your soul drawing you to the Lamb of God? Tell me, for God's sake, and for your eternal welfare, that there is a want to be in your soul near unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me there is. I saw where president, founder, CEO, whatever, of Google, billionaire, found some of the Saturn rockets in the Atlantic that pushed the Apollo 11 out of Earth's gravity. Sparked a little curiosity in me. I wanted to know about those rockets. Five of them. Each rocket pushing away from the earth has got more than 30 million horsepower. That's almost 190 million horsepower that they needed to push the Apollo 11 out of Earth's gravitational field. There's a power far beyond your religious nature and your religious training. There is a power far beyond the Baptist doctrine, though correct. Yeah. There is that only God could put in your soul to pull you from her. It's got too much hold on you.
Yeah.
The reason we're seeing things in brighter color from outer space, improvement of the camera, but also they're getting these telescopes out of the Earth's field, obstructions, atmosphere. And they say clearly, or clearer, I should say, or clearer. There on eagle wings I soar, where time and sense all seem no more. That's what I'm trying to tell you about this morning. With Mary at Jesus' feet. where time and sense and people and everything else and the atmosphere I live in and the gravitational pull of this orb from which I come is all under my feet. And only the wings I soar to the holy hill of God to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And there heaven comes down, my soul to greet, and glory crowns the mercy seat. You've got to get away from here, children. You got to get above here if you're going to see. I'm looking one day for the fulfillment of this longing in my soul. That bridegroom said she found him. Bride, I'm sorry, said she found him. And she would not let him go until she brought him into her mother's house. I want to someday me out of the way, set the living Christ before living souls. And I want you to get above and beyond all this up here and all this in here, because listen, folk, our affections have been polluted. Our thinking has been... No, it's all been corrupted. What am I doing saying polluted? God's got to straighten us out on everything. The things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Okay, one step further. She sat at His feet. She heard His words. She was in a place that nobody else was. By the way, Martha and Mary can be you, the two of you.
Yeah.
It really is all in all of us. There's that part of me that wants to be doing. Sometimes it's right to be doing. Sometimes it's wrong. And I need to stop and sit down at Christ's feet. But there'd be a lot of buzzards flying around trying to get you out of that place. A lot of times they're successful because your mind yields in to what they brought, and you've lost fellowship with Christ. She sat at His feet. There's that union. But one step farther. It is possible for the very children of God to know the heart and to know the mind of their father and of their husband. You say, that's crazy. You've gone too far now. How precious, Psalm 139, that is esteemed, highly prized and valuable. How precious are not my thoughts of God. How precious are thy thoughts. You can get beyond, and you can get above, and you can hear and have expressed to you the heart and mind of your father. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think. Well, wait a minute now, Lord, you just told me, so now I know the thoughts you think towards me. Not of evil, but of peace to give you an expected end. Let me tell you about a place prepared for you. Oh, I know, that's a third book. Lord, children, there's nothing out there. We've got to get into the reality of the day. Everything's out there, be there when you get there. But you're losing your valuable time in thinking about tomorrow or living in the past. Get in the day. Get with Christ. Listen to what God told Moses. There is a place by me you shall stand upon a rock. Now I want you to think spiritually even about the written word. Stand. You mean there's a human being that would dare stand by the side of God, that would dare stand on equal footing with the Lamb of God, God Almighty in a body, that he would stand on ground looking God Almighty in the face? Yes, there he is. But I know what you're about to say. I know what you're thinking. I'm too sinful. I am too unholy. I'll be on my face. It's right at times for you to be on your face. But there are times when you are to stand in the righteousness and completed work of Christ, looking God face to face. One step beyond at his feet. There is no wonder in my mind why there is so little worship today. It is because of a false, erroneous view that we've got of God, and there may be more of the harlot's images in us than we know.
Yes. Amen.
God, tear it away. So that Grace Baptist will find that spot. And when you get there as a church, there won't be anybody there but you. That's the way it ought to be on the pew right now. Paul was speaking about the man and wife. And he said, he called that a great mystery too. But he said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Union. Isaiah 54, thy maker is thine husband. Hosea 2, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Union. 2 Peter, or might be 3rd, I don't know, you can find it later. 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might all get to heaven. Is that what it said? What did it say? Partakers of what? And his divine nature. My soul, I bow my face before God for that. For he raised up a lowly worm. But if Christ is to receive full credit, honor, and glory in my soul, I got to stand looking at God, attributing all the work to Christ. Might be trembling, it might be fear. Even that fear in the natural will be gone one day.
Yes.
There will always be a reverence for our husband. You think Christ died to carry you to heaven? He died that you might become partakers of divine nature. I wish you'd quit looking at me. He told the bride, "You've ravished my heart with one of your eyes." And that's beyond anything I can know. But he said it, therefore it is a fact. And I got to come to acknowledge the truth in that. Oh, you can't come in, Lord, and I'm polluted. Run to him just as you are. Nothing in your hands. Run to him. You'll find him to be far more than what I've been able to speak to you about. Ravished his heart, Christ. Psalm 45 speaks about the king's daughter forgetting her father's house and her family, and he said, "And I will greatly desire your beauty." Oh, she must have had on some costly jewels. No. "Whose adorning let it not be of the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, but let it be of the heart, hidden man of the heart." Right. That's where Christ looks. And looking at you, he said, "And before ever I was aware, my soul had made me like the chariots of Abinadab." However it's pronounced. I had to get there. God bless you. God bring you. Bring us to sit at Jesus' feet. Mary chose that good part, which means there were some more parts that she had to put down to get to the good part.